You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us. It's your birthday this week.
It's my birthday right now.
It's your birthday right now as we're recording this.
Yeah, this is what I do on my birthday. I work. I work for you, the people.
Oh my God, like talking to me is so hard.
I woke up and I was like, oh God, I gotta talk to Heather today.
I know, you
actually
just got rid of me.
No, I woke up at like 3 a.m. with a book idea. So I've been awake for a while. So, yeah. But I don't have to do anything today. So, well, I have to go buy hay.
I was going
to
say, what are your plans?
I'm going to go buy hay. Excite.
Scintillating.
And then I'm going to have lunch with Corey and Calvin. Fun. And then I'm pretty sure I'm going to take a hella nap.
Sounds amazing.
And then I'm going to ride Ben. And that'll be my day.
Sounds like a perfect day.
It'll be pretty good. I'm in the middle of a vacation right now. So I started my vacation on Saturday afternoon after I finished my draft finally and sent it to people and said, read this and leave me alone.
Yay. So I know you were stressing about that one.
So stressed. And now it's gone. It's no longer my problem. I will have to fix typos and that's pretty much it. So yeah, it's always good when the first couple readers read it and somebody says, this is my favorite book of yours I've ever read. And I'm like, okay, good.
yeah, keep that coming. You like that energy every book you've ever read. You
know, exactly. You know. It should be, right? Because I should be getting better every time. So each book should be the best book you've ever read.
One would hope. You know, that's I'm panicking goal. Right now because I'm waiting for my edits to come back on Shadow on the Mountain. And I'm just like, you know, this one took it got a little bit more intense, this book. And so I'm just like, oh God, I hope it's okay.
Sure, it is brilliant. You know what you're doing.
I mean, vaguely, I'm learning what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's nice that you take suggestions, you know, but I mean, only your second book and you're still like respecting your editor. Very impressive.
I mean, you know, I feel like if I'm going to hire a professional, I should take their advice, at least some of it, you know, like some otherwise, why bother paying them money?
Mm-hmm,
right? It's that weird status quo. But also, I don't have like 29 books under my belt like some people. To perfect
there's this website that says I have 41. I don't know.
Is it really? Maybe with anthologies and stuff?
Yeah, and some books I unpublished because they weren't good enough. Things like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I get it. Well, on paper, I think I have 9, like between the nonfiction and the fiction. But I mean, there's like the barn time planner. Does that really count as a book? You know what I mean? It's like low content. So I think all in, I think I have 5. Like full length works, which is not bad considering I'm a baby author.
Baby author. Big things coming.
Yeah, exactly. The world is my oyster. Well, I'm excited. Your birthday sounds awesome.
Hay, lunch.
Hay, lunch, and a ride. And a nap.
The nap I had that to add after I woke up at 3 a.m.
I can't believe you woke up at 3 a.m. for the day. You're turning into me, Natalie. I was doing
menopausal
that for a long time.
And grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I cover up the grumpy in sugar and then get through the day. So now that I've taken sugar out of my diet, I'm surprisingly sleeping better. So thank God for that.
Yeah, I had ice cream last night. Probably wasn't a great idea.
Oh.
But guess what? I'm going to Disney World tomorrow. So there's a lot more where that came from.
It's going to be so fun. And it's like literally your happiest place.
I am super excited. It is weirdly, it didn't occur to me until people started posting their 4-year anniversary stuff online. This is the 4-year anniversary of locking ourselves in our homes. I was like, oh shit, it is.
Oh, damn.
Right? And I completely forgot. So this is actually the 4-year anniversary of me not working at Disney World anymore.
Oh my God. So you're going to go celebrate by going as a spectator.
Yeah, as a guest, which is funny because I had a dream that like I had to work. I was like, they didn't put me on the schedule for all the time and now I'm on the schedule and I get to give away shifts. And I was like, wait, I can quit because I have an annual pass. I don't need my cast member ID at all.
Wow, you even dream of Disney.
I've been reading some books by like Imagineers and stuff like that to kind of get the vibe. So.
Oh my God. Well, you know, you're going in spring break. It's going to be a madhouse there.
I know, but I'm staying on property, as we say. So I can just like go back to my resort and watch people, and I can go to the boardwalk and do things that aren't in the theme parks as well. So we have dining reservations. So it's just some chill as hell.
That's awesome. Oh
my
God. The
things that we like to do are not popular, so it's fine.
I can't wait to see the photos on your feeds if you post any. So
I guess I will.
I'm sure you will. You're going to post pictures of food, aren't you?
Yeah, just because you said that. I'm going to post all the pictures. It's going to be 2009 again on my feed. All photos. I don't remember. When was food? Food photos were a big deal back in the early social media days. And they really fell out of favor, but they were fun.
I think some people still post if they have like a really good photo. I mean, I know you send them to Calvin, but you know, I don't often take a picture of my food unless it's like mind-blowingly beautiful. And then I think the last time I took a photo and shared it was like when I was in Mongolia. I'm like, look at what I'm eating right now.
Oh my God, have you been to Mongolia?
Shut up. I actually had – so there's this – I forget the name of it. It's like Nordic Nomad, I think, is maybe what it is. I think they just followed me on social media because Kathy Woods, I guess they've been looking for someone to come do photography for a whole bunch of their expeditions up in the Arctic and like, you know, northern lands and for all these different dog sleds and things like that. And they're like, we're looking for, and Kathy Woods like, Heather. I'm like, this is how I got roped into doing the Gobi Desert Cup, which was amazing. But also my clients were like none too thrilled with me being gone for almost a month twice, you know? So I was like, appreciate the shout out, but like not sure I can pull that off right now, but maybe when the kids are in college.
It's so hard to go away. Like the older I get, the harder it is to go away because I like where I'm at and I don't want to go anywhere.
See, I love to travel. I love to travel, but you know, my job is pretty intense and I have kids that I can't really leave for a lengthy period of time. So, you know, my goal would be spring break's coming up. And for the first time in 4 years, we're taking the kids on a trip and we're going to Turks and Caicos, which I'm very excited about.
That's nice.
Never been. Should be nice and easy, all-inclusive resort. I want to make this fun for my kids because 2 out of 3 want to travel and 1 is terrified of traveling. Mm-hmm. So if I could get that 1 not terrified of traveling and just be an okay traveler, then sky's the limit. And we could actually go and do things together, which is what I did growing up because the first time I was in Europe was with my dad and my family. I was like 13. Yeah. So like, I want that for them.
Yeah. It's really, I like kids getting to experience other cultures. It's really fun to do with them. And buying candy. That's how everyone does it, right? You just go to grocery stores and buy a lot of candy and you're like, new culture. That's how I do it.
Especially, well, I am going to England. So like, I might have to bring you back some of the good chocolate.
Yeah, I might go this summer too. I haven't decided. We start craving it. I was like, we haven't been to London since like a year ago. Like what? So we're gonna have to find our way over there soon. So yeah, but that means leaving the Pones again. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of have to accept that you're never gonna get anywhere because you like doing other stuff besides riding horses. Dum dum dum.
It's okay not to be all one-sided in your hobby. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to have multiple different hobbies.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do to unwind from your hobby? I travel.
Yeah. Or read. Or, you know, you can have more than one hobby. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the benefit, I think, too, of me. There's a lot of pros and cons to boarding at a facility. But that's a nice one is I can travel and know my horses are going to be taken care of. And they're probably not going to miss me. Whereas you have to get the farm sitter and the check-ins and like prepare to leave.
Yeah, yeah. I love my farm sitter. I wish I could just hire her full time to be my farm manager and always be here because she's delightful. And everybody likes her. And
you could pay her to be your friend.
I could pay her to be my friend. That's such a good idea. Yeah, she's my assistant. She's my social assistant.
I think that's a phenomenal idea, you know.
People like me.
Excuse me. Could you make this person like me? Thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Will my money make you like me? Okay. Yeah. Sell more books, buy more friends.
Now that's a sticker.
Please buy my books. I need friends.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Well,
yeah. If you do get a good farm sitter, you have to and just treat them like gold because I see people all the time that say they never get to go on vacation because they have horses. And I'm like, you can hire people for that. Like, right. People exist. But you have to vet them and make sure that they've almost all been vet techs at this point. At least all the ones around here. Like, but that's a good thing. Every single one of them is a vet tech.
Yeah, because they can cover some of the minor stuff and they have the mm-hmm. horse sense. You know, you don't want to have someone who doesn't know anything about horses or, God forbid, doesn't know how to handle an emergency that comes up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not while you're gone. Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. So, exactly. But I say the same thing about my farrier. I'm like, would you like a huge ass tip for Christmas? And just randomly, because I know and appreciate you and I never want you to leave me.
I mean, I told my farrier she could charge more. I guess that's the same thing. She hasn't. So that's
well, you just add a tip. Just add a tip.
I should also pay her for yesterday. Damn it. I'm so slow with Venmo.
That's okay. They'll always send you a reminder if they need to.
Yeah.
Usually Venmo's pretty good, but if I have to send a reminder, it's pretty rare.
But it can take me a couple of, it would be better if someone stood there and said, okay, go ahead and Venmo me. And I'd be like, okie doke. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's one of those things I remember, you know, every 2 hours for like 3 days. Like,
that reminds me, I think you and I owe each other money.
We have some complicated transaction to work through. I don't even know.
I'm like, at this point, I'm just like,
Can we just have our accountants call each other and battle this out? I don't know anymore.
So do you have to do math? That's stupid.
Mm. Well, I was totally like, I'm like, oh, Heather, you paid me for that huge expensive hotel room, right? You're like, no. Sure you did, months ago.
And then I'm like, oh, those dinners that we did, didn't I even know? You know, so I feel like it all evens out in the wash. One day we'll figure it out.
I think we should disagree. We both will always owe each other $500.
That's probably true.
Until we die.
Speaking of, no, I'm just kidding. That reminds me, this Patreon thing. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. Yeah,
I'm almost recovered from the black hole that was the spooky season challenge.
Yeah, I know. I hope everybody enjoyed that because, like, that took us out. as I'm sitting here looking at, like, a box of books I just ordered, I'm like, damn it. There's always expenses. But speaking of expenses, you know, I had this amazing idea to maybe, like, lease a pony for my daughter.
This is a good idea. This can't go wrong.
So I'm just going to, like, I'm just going to go through it real quick. So I have a client that I go to and I see every month and I rotate through all her lesson horses and I do saddle fitting and body work and everything. And she goes, oh, well, you know, I know you haven't seen this pony a lot. He's a very easy keeper, but I'm thinking of selling him. And I said, what? Right. And he's so cute. Like he's so chill. He's so cute. He's a great size. He's a large pony. He's one eye. So immediately I'm like, yes, what? You know, something odd about you. I like it. And so I was like, well, I don't need a third horse. And I know my husband does not want another horse, right? But my daughter wants to show and she wants to ride more. And I don't see us doing that unless we have a horse she can ride. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, how do I make this work and jump through hoops? So anyway, he's here for a trial. I rode him, my trainer rode him, and then now he's up here for a full week. And so she's been like hand walking him, grooming him, and just kind of getting him used to the arena and everything. He's out next to my boys. So flipping cute, by the way. She was supposed to have her first lesson yesterday because we won't let her ride him without like a lesson because she doesn't know this pony. And it got canceled because of the wind. So she's going to go today and tomorrow and ride him. And then we're going to decide if Heather's lost her ever loving mind and is encouraging this third horse situation, or if we're going to return him to find a better home. So, but you know, he's super sweet, and I just, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, that's, you know, better for the budget, but you know, my heart will break a little because he's kind of awesome.
He's really cute.
He's really, really cute.
A third horse is so hard to resist.
They're like chips. You can't just have one.
Each one does something different. You know? So there's that. That's like, you know, if you have a pickup truck and a sports car,
and also a sedan
to do errands in, right? Better gas mileage, more comfortable, safer for the family. That's what this pony is.
Well, and he's technically would be for my daughter. Like, it would not be mine. Mm-hmm. At all, even though I might steal him to do some training rides and put some buttons on him and maybe take him on the occasional trail. I haven't thought through this at all. but he would be her little show pony that she could hack around on. She and I could ride together because Ferris is not the one. He can't. Right. He's too technical. He also can't trailer very well. Delight's retired. So like, she doesn't have a horse with full access. Mm-hmm, so if I can give that gift.
You can't expect a teenager to share a horse with mom, especially if she wants to show. That's a completely unreasonable expectation.
Yeah. And I love that you're backing me up on this because my husband thinks I'm insane. But, you know, I have a lot of connections in the horse world. And I feel like if I could work this out so we're not spending more than like potentially what she would pay to ride twice a week anyway, then like, and she could work off part of it and we could figure that out, then why wouldn't we try?
Absolutely. I did. I mean, I worked off lessons. I hated it, but I did it. And I worked off board, and I didn't know how much board cost for years and years because I worked full time outside of school and during school hours too sometimes to cover board. So that was, you know, yeah, kids can work. If you got the right kind of barn situation where you can find places for her to work, please, she'll work for that pony.
Well, that's it. And I wanted, like, I kind of want to give her the, what I didn't have as a kid, which is that access. Cause I only rode once a week until I was, you know, 40. Right.
Yeah.
And so, cause my parents couldn't afford more than that. They didn't want to drive me to the barn to work off anything. Like, that wasn't an option for me. So she wants this. So if I'm going to support my other daughters in their hobbies, and this girl has a hobby that I can support her in and find her access, right? Why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point, because you've got somebody in your family that they're doing, you know, let's say that they're doing like lacrosse. I don't know. You wouldn't be like, oh, I do lacrosse too, so we'll just like split everything.
Right.
You can use my lacrosse stuff when I'm not using it. Like, that's not how it's going to happen. You're going to pay for that kid to have all their own lacrosse stuff. So just the fact that you also have a horse doesn't mean that she therefore doesn't get her own stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, listen, I'd be all for sharing if Ferris was that horse. But, you know, with the EPM and everything and the trailering stuff, like, it's just not the right fit. But, like, my other daughter does cheerleading 5 days a week for 9 to 10 months out of the year. My other daughter does marching band for 7 or 8 months out of the year, 5 days a week. Right? So I have this daughter who gets to ride once a week because it's an expensive hobby. Is that really fair? You know, and the others are free. So like, they're school mandated. So like, I can take this and say like, okay, well, I've got connections in this barn and I can maybe arrange a free lease for this or do, you know, like, why wouldn't I do these things? Mm-hmm. And then have her work off part of that. And so we'll see. But I saw, which is funny, on our Facebook Clubhouse, there was like all these questions about buying your first horse.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe we could talk about how we got our horses and then maybe answer some of the Facebook questions.
Oh, like our first horses?
Well, just like...
Or like our grown-up horses.
Maybe grown-up horses. Or any of us, because we're adulting, right? So like... right?
Well, I mean... Sorry.
No, I'm saying like, well, how did you get Ben?
Oh, Ben. Ben was preordained.
It was fate.
Ben came into my life and would not leave. No, I was looking for some riding like time. And I thought I'm making enough money that maybe I can afford a riding lesson every week. You know, I was like, oh my God, I'm making that much money. It took me a really long time to get a grown-up salary. So I went and I took a riding lesson and like nothing really happened. I kind of hated it. And I said, maybe I just need some saddle time and I can just like get back to me. So I tried a couple horses for partial lease, you know, to ride like 3 days a week. And I tried one and I liked them, but the drive was kind of a pain. And then I don't think I messaged Jess. I think she messaged me and asked if I wanted to try this pony. And she sent me this video and I was like, oh no, little slab of a chestnut that he was, you know, saddle broke, green broke. And that was it. And she was like, he needs time and mileage. I'd like him to be a school horse. And I said, all right, what's the harm? So I drove up and I tried him and he was like riding a, you know, piece of plywood, just absolutely no bend to him whatsoever. And I was like, yeah, okay. All right. What the hell? I'll lease this horse.
Project.
And so, so I started riding him 2 or 3 days a week whenever I could get up there. And he turned out to be really, really nice once he figured out that his spine had joints in it and it wasn't a straight line. Things started to change for Benny.
So no PPE, no nothing? Like you just just like grandfathered
that would,
in?
That would imply a purchase was involved. You have to understand, I half leased, air quotes, and I rode him every week for several years. And then they began referring to him as my horse. And then he showed up in my yard. That's essentially what happened.
Like magic.
There goes the horse. There were some discussions ahead of time where it was like, I'm bringing Ben up. And I was like, I guess I have to buy some fence.
Well, and then Manny showed up the same way, didn't he? He just like showed up in your, like on a trailer one day.
Well, I asked for Manny on Twitter. I asked if anybody had a horse because I was having a horse show up in my yard imminently. And did anybody have something that I could borrow? And my friend on Twitter was like, yeah, here, have Manny. And so now I possess Manny. I acquire most of my horses in sort of roundabout backdoor methods like that. It's not necessarily the best way.
Well, I feel like, so I never, I had to convince Jason, like beg, plead, cry for years in order to even consider owning a horse. And then I really wanted Delight. Like he was probably 6 at the time and he was like a green thoroughbred learning to jump and stuff. And like, I was just like, this is the horse for me. And he's like, are you shitting me right now? Like you're a timid rider and you've got 3 young children that would never be able, if we're going to do this, we need a family horse. And like, okay. So I cried a lot about it. And after I had my fall off of him, because we weren't actively looking, we weren't like searching or anything. After I fell off of him and broke my ribs and bruised my lung, I started riding these 2 other horses at the barn, Rufus and Ferris. And Ferris was the barn favorite. Like he was one that only 2 people were allowed to ride because the barn owner owned him and was like, no, he's too technical. He's the most precious snowflake in the world. And so Rob and my trainer had convinced her to let me ride him. And she did. And I was like, oh my God, he's so hard to ride. Like he's so opposite of what Delight was, but he was fun because he actually had to like work. So anyway, I convinced Jason that he needed to be bought. And I went to the owner and we convinced her to allow me to purchase him and like keep him at the barn. So no PPE, no vet check, no nothing. I was just riding this horse for like 2 months. And I was like, this is the one. And then when it came to Delight, I had been, you know, I'd had Ferris for 3 years and I got this call from Delight's owner or like a text message or something and was like, oh, hey, Delight's going to be, you know, sent to auction or like something along those lines. And I was like, what is going on? And so she told me all the problems he'd been having. And I was like, yeah, no, like, I need to take this horse. And so I went and figured out like a sanctuary situation for him where he could like rehab and just be a horse for a while. And like, so it kind of was like an adoption thing that like, he wasn't like supposed to be ours.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And then I was like, well, let's see, maybe I can end up riding him. And so like we did the kind of a backward situation too, where they kind of just fell into my laps.
Yeah.
You know, and I then even this good... little guy, he again, yeah. He was a client and she's like, oh, he's going to be for sale. I'm like, no, he's not.
You know, people who own, there are certain horses out there that, you know, they're going to be kind of hard to sell. And you know that you can't guarantee that that sale home is going to be the best for them or that it's going to last. And when you're, you know, when you have friends with horses in those situations, sometimes you're the best bet. And that's how these sort of special arrangements come to be, where you're like, well, you know, you're dealing with a situation where like, I love this horse and I can't keep this horse anymore for various reasons. I have to place the horse. And that's a different thing from selling a horse.
Totally.
And so I have been on both sides of that equation where I have placed horses with people and they've gone on to have great lives. And I have no regrets about a lack of money changing hands, where I was like, this was the right horse for the right person. And I would much rather know that they're together, even though that person maybe didn't have, you know, the purchase price, whatever that horse might be, you know, air quotes, worth. And I think those are the best situations. I don't like selling horses. I've sold horses before and I don't like that I don't know where they are. I feel responsible for something that I can't help. And that's a very helpless feeling because I can't help.
I mean, the only way that I could see letting Delight go, right, to like a retirement home or something like that, it would be somebody I knew, and knew well, you know. And right now he's with his previous owner. So he's at my barn with his original owner that I know, you know, he's well cared for. She and I kind of like both watch out for him. And, you know, she doesn't ask me for anything. So like, it's one of those like win-win situations. Like we know he's safe and we know he's loved. But
yeah,
you know, and not every horse has a happy ending like that.
Right. That's why I prefer that as the priority in any exchange is like, look, are you going to take the best care of this horse?
Right.
And are you going to call me if you need anything at all? Okay. Deal.
You know? Yeah. Cause there's some real shady people out there.
There are. And you know what? Perfectly normal seeming people can turn shady over money. Like you might sell a horse for 20 grand to a great home and then something goes off in their life or they quit riding or they take a bad fall or whatever. And they're like, get rid of this horse. Where's the horse? Nobody fucking knows. And it just, you see it so often. It's just exhausting.
And I have one of my clients, they specialize in like leases. So they lease and train, like they train these young, like large ponies, and then they lease them out to kids for a reasonable price, right? That's their job. And this one, he's a unicorn. He came back from a lease situation at a very high level barn in like, you know, Aiken. And he was, they had clipped him. So he had razor burn all over him. He had lost weight. And he had a staple in his forehead because apparently that is an acupuncture method, but they never took it out.
Oh, so I can just use a stapler and do acupuncture?
Apparently.
And I have a stapler.
And so we're looking at him like, why is he so pole shy? And they're like, oh, Heather, like this is, I'm like, what? This is what happened. And this is a high level barn.
Oh my God.
In a beautiful area. And this is not a cheap pony. This is an like a high level. He is always in the ribbons. And this is how he got treated. And it wasn't even their horse. Like it was a lease situation.
I love leases, but I would never give a horse for an off-site lease.
No, I think if I were to ever need to lease out Ferris or like a half lease, it would have to be on property. Like I'm too much.
Yeah. Or for me, I couldn't have a person at my home. I would die. But I could, you know, do a boarding stable nearby where I could be like a constant annoying presence. Yeah. Because I think leases are amazing and I wish that more barns specialized in them. Yeah. And so, yeah, we always have 5 stalls for leases, and you can always come and get a horse for 6 months and see if it's the right horse for you. Or
that's a great idea.
Or move up, you know, get more ride time in so you can move up. Leasing is the best, especially mm-hmm. for adults.
Well, that's how I first started riding more is I mm-hmm. would work. I was a working student in exchange for like a 2-day a week kind of quarter lease situation where one lesson and one free ride. Like I could go hack and do whatever. And I tell you, I learned more in that than I did just taking lessons.
Oh yeah, you learn so much in those free rides. I've been at Barnes where leasing the school horses was a big part of the program, mm-hmm. and people, you know, they got better. And I've been at Barnes where it's just lessons, and people stay at the same level for a really long time. You got to get out there and kick around and make mistakes and let the horse push you around a little bit.
Yeah, and not have someone just telling you exactly what to do. Sometimes you have to figure it out.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I'm trying to do with my kid. Is like, you know, this pony is not, he's not for beginners. Like he's forward. I got mm-hmm. on him and I was like, woo, okay, don't add leg. Like he is forward with a hard mouth. He doesn't really know how to break yet. And, or if he does, it's like, it's all body and voice command. So he'll challenge her, but he doesn't bolt. He doesn't bolt off. Like he just goes straight into the trot. And then if you get tense on him, he goes into the canter. But his canter is as fast as the trot because he's a pony. You know, like he doesn't really go anywhere. So I'm like, if my kid wants to learn to be a better rider, he is going to teach her how to do it. Because these lesson horses teach her how to add leg. So now let's teach her to finesse that.
And there is something, you're right, about a large pony because Ben's that way where he every now and then he just like goes through the bit and kind of takes off with me. And I'm like, where are you going? Whereas it would be really noticeable on a small pony. You'd be like, oh my God, what just happened? And it'd be really noticeable on a horse because you'd be covering some distance. But on a large pony, you're just like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, slow down.
Like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, this is where we circle.
It's like their bodies are just a little too chunky to actually accomplish anything. Their legs aren't quite long enough to go anywhere.
Yep. Well, that's it. And it's a short stride, so it always feels faster than it really is. So I was just like, this might be perfect for her to learn on because, you know, she could still show one of the lesson ponies as they want her to show her this spring. And, you know, because my daughter's small and mm-hmm. so she can ride a lot of the ponies. So, but yeah, so we'll see. But, I've never gotten a PPE. Not that I'm against them. I think they show you certain things that I've always gotten horses I was already familiar with.
Yeah, the only one, we got one on, I think my first 2 horses had PPEs. And yeah, there wasn't anything really to it. There weren't x-rays or anything like that. It was more like a
reflection test, right?
This horse is definitely breathing. It has all its fits. it's always not falling down lame. There's nothing broken in there. You're good to go, right? And the first horse, he had massive digestive problems that PPE never would have found.
Right.
So that didn't matter. And the second horse did anything and everything he ever wanted and lived a really long time. And then I've never had one done on another horse. I've bought broodmares at a thoroughbred auction. They really just came with a certification that they were bred, nothing else. So mm-hmm. that doesn't really count. So yeah, that's it. That's all I've ever done.
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, if I were going to a sale barn, right, to a trainer with a bunch of horses for sale, I'd have to work something out because I would be very nervous of, I don't want to say the trainer is probably cooking something up with the horse, but it happens enough that I would be nervous about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I were going to be spending $20,000 or more on a horse, mm-hmm. or even more than 10, let's just say, like,
yeah.
If I could see the benefits of doing a PPE to make sure that your investment, right, because that's what it would be that mm-hmm. investment, would have a safe return, right? Like you'd have a long standing relationship and they were capable of doing the sport you wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just mucking about in the arena doing a light hack periodically if possible. You know, I don't do much with my horses. So like, they're a little stiff because they got a little arthritis in that hock. You know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I do think if you are, if you know, like us and bopping around, I think it's a good idea to look amongst your friends and get to know people at your boarding barn or whatever, and see if you can't get a horse through those channels. Not necessarily like a giveaway or something, but
better
somebody
you know.
Right. As opposed to chasing down ads and going to look at the, you know, the guaranteed bomb-proof husband horse that you really don't know anything about.
Oh yeah, you know? And that could be completely drugged in all the videos.
Yeah,
right?
Just as much of $5,000 horse as a $20,000 horse could be just as dangerous.
Oh
if
yeah,
you don't know anything about it for sure.
Well, and you know, I will say too, like, trust your trainer. I mean, if you ride with a trainer, the first thing I did was like send a video of this pony to my trainer and be like, what do you think of this? Is this even worth looking at?
Right.
And when she said, yeah, he's really cute, let's see him, I let her ride first before I got on, because I wanted to know, is this horse too much for me? And if so, definitely worth more than for, you know, not enough words. If it's too much for me, then it's definitely too much for my daughter. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of like was just like, okay, you get on. And then she's like, oh, Heather, yeah, canter him. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really want to canter a horse I've never met before or you like ridden before. And she's like, just canter. And I was like, oh, then he must be fine. And he was great. You know, it was great. But because I know she's not going to put me in a situation, because if she got on that pony and was like, absolutely, there's nothing we can do for this, and this is not a good fit for your daughter, then why waste our time?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of like, because I know my trainer is going to be real honest with me. My trainer, unlike some, you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but she's not going to just try to get the money out of the deal. My trainer really wants the best for me long term. So like, I know she's not looking for a commission.
Yeah.
So I do need to say that some trainers are looking for a commission and then will overhorse you because of the expense. Like, they want the money.
Yeah, if somebody's that's such a good point. It might even be worthwhile to offer a trainer a flat rate to help you find a horse and say, you know, please don't take a commission on this. Like, I mean, everybody takes their own business dealings, but yeah, if somebody is looking for commissions, then that's going to be a factor, because that's their how much they're getting paid back for their time, and we know you know, it's a struggle making money with horses. So it's a struggle not to go, oh, that horse is going to bring me in an extra $1,000.
Right. And if they're between two horses, right, one that's maybe 20 grand and one that's 30, but one is maybe a little iffy.
And if the horse needs tune-up rides, who's doing it and who's getting paid to do it? So that's a concern as well.
Yeah.
Oh, can't
so always something to consider.
Heather. Heather, I feel so down right now. Can we trust Noah?
I mean, you could trust me, Natalie.
That's true.
You know,
it
never
all comes
gonna lie
back
to, you.
To our friends. You got to make horse girlfriends. That's all you can do.
Yes. Well, even of some horse girlfriends, I know of people who have, like, you know, done project horses and wanted to sell a horse that I didn't think was the right fit for a person, but it was not my place to say because they didn't ask. Right. So yeah. I really struggle sometimes being like, I don't know about that one. And not saying it because their trainer is telling them something different. I'm like, it's one thing if they ask your opinion. Because you know me, I have loads of opinions. So, but they're not always right because I don't know everything.
Yeah. It's funny because the biggest business in the horse world is amateurs, making money off amateurs.
Right.
And, you know, if I could impart one piece of advice to any amateur, it would be like, steer clear of the money. Just don't do anything that involves a lot of money, because that's when they come for you.
Mm-hmm. And so don't let them know you have money.
Avoid the business at all costs. Just play. Let's play. Everybody play. It's much safer.
Horses as business always makes my stomach turn a little bit.
It's a bad
because
news. Yeah.
It's just a bad news. Like, if I'm going to treat a horse like it's a car that I upgrade every couple of years, then maybe I'm in the wrong sport. But that's my personal belief in things. And that's
all of our listeners' beliefs. That's why they are here with us.
So well, if not, I've definitely, you know, ruffled a few feathers. But sorry, it's just my opinion.
5-star reviews means you hate us.
Well, we'll see. You know, I'm curious to see how this first ride goes with this pony.
I'm excited. I think you should live stream it.
I'm going to video it for sure, because I want to send it to his owner. because this is so sad. So when she let her students know that he was possibly leaving for a trial, or that he was leaving for a trial, you know, and possibly for offsite longer period, all the kids were visiting him and crying.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And one of the little kids said, "Don't worry, sissy. They might send him back because he only has one eye."
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow. Why?
I know. I'm like, they don't know me at all. But it's been great. He's only been there a couple of days, but he comes right to my daughter at the gate. She's walking him around in this, like, you know, huge wind, and he's already learned what treats mean. So I told her, I was like, this is how we give treats and do stuff for them so they don't get mugged constantly. But I'm excited to see. She's excited. And I feel like I'm giving her this opportunity to have something I never got to have when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's the whole point of being a parent. Giving your kids stuff you wanted and you didn't get. Sometimes they don't want it, and then you have to force it on them, and that's annoying.
That's not what I want to do. Is it like broccoli? Like
no, like books and ponies. Like take all the books and all the ponies. I don't want the books and the ponies. Well, I wanted them, so you're getting them.
Somebody took like a nice parenting moment and you morphed it into like a narcissistic thing.
Some might say that is my superpower: morphing nice things into bad things.
It is why I adore you immensely.
My negativity.
With a smile, though. You always have a smile. So
I always have a smile. That's important.
I don't know. Is your adulting win going to be your birthday, or the nap, or what's your
vacation?
Vacation. That's right.
The quitting doing things. I mean, literally on Sunday, I got up around 9 o'clock. I took my book out to the sofa. I stayed there until 3 o'clock.
Stop. That's like porn. Stop. You're making me
all
so horny right now.
Day. It was a big fat 400 odd page novel, and I read the whole damn thing. It was very cool. It was
sounds like heaven.
Immigrants in the 19th century. It was fantastic.
And now
so that
you're
was
going
crazy. And then I planted my garden, so my vegetable garden is planted for spring. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of good things.
Yeah.
And Disney.
Oh, it's so beautiful right now. March is gorgeous in Florida.
That's why you're wearing a sweater, right?
Well, yeah, it's still spring. It goes up, it goes down. It was like 88 the other day.
Not I'm outside earlier with just a long sleeve shirt, and it's 41 degrees out. I was like, "Ooh, it's spring."
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. That first time that you go out without a coat, like, oh my god, it's not in the 30s. Yeah, it's not like that. It just got so warm here so quickly, and then it got cold again. I was like, oh shit, I forgot how cold is.
And it teases you. Those little waves tease you so much. Well, we've had like just nonstop deluge, like rain.
Really?
It's been so bad that, and our paddocks stay pretty good, but our entire front paddock, half of it is a lake. I'm talking like underwater, can't see mud lake.
Oh.
In the whole front half of it. And so I had to go get the horse out of the paddock to do a massage the other day. I was like, and he wouldn't come to the gate. I was like, I don't blame you. I'm not going in either. So I guess I'll see you later. And
I've heard that from Boreade Stables in summer here. Like, oh man, the horse is on the other side of like 20 feet of water. God damn it.
And then I was like, well, I don't have to be the one to bring him in. So like, I'll work on him today instead when I'm there and he's already in. Because I'm like, sorry. Benefits of working on the horses at my own barn, right?
And when you walk on your toes along the fence line, like,
and then you squish. Well, and it's boot sucking mud because I was wearing my muck boots, so I was, but it was like you take a step and then you sink, and then you like have to like wiggle your foot to get it out with the shoe on. I was like, no, this is, I'm clearly gonna lose something. So, and that was just to open the gate for my horses because it's only like a 1 foot spot of mud in my paddock, which is I love. I never want to change paddocks. But I was like, oh my God. And I almost just opened the gate and was like, Delight, go to your stall. Like I almost was like, just go. So my adulting win of the week, it's been an interesting week. I think I'm excited to do this trial for my daughter and see, I don't know if it's a win yet, right? But
yeah,
so far he's been really fun to have him there and to see her like come to the barn with me. And while I'm doing my barn things, she's doing her own barn things. So like that's a first, which is really pretty cool, you know, and she's getting more independent. Like she's learning how to wash the legs and she's doing more than she would with just a lesson horse. I showed her how to do a little bit of like hand walking and how you kind of match speed and get him to whoa and stop at your shoulder and like all those things. And then this weekend, when this airs, I will be flying first class to Las Vegas for my really good friend from college. She was my best friend and my sister forever. She's getting married. And so we're having her bachelorette party with a whole bunch of my college friends in Las Vegas this weekend. It's going to be a shit show because it's St. Patty's Day. But she's in LA for work right now and she lives in Paris. So like, we're like, let's just do it. So we're going to go out. We've got plans to go see Magic Mike. And when I say we're going with friends from college, I say we're going with a group of like 15 to 18 people and half of them are men. Okay. All of our friends from college are men. Oh my God.
This really sounds like a movie is being made.
I mean, there might be a book, a rom-com of some sort that comes out of it. I'm calling it Feral Fun Times because whenever I see my friends from college, they just light me up. They make me feel so much better about life. And, you know, it's like stepping back into college for a short minute just with a 40-year-old body. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And then I'm taking a first class back. Because I'm going to need to sleep on the plane because she has just booked us for everything. So maybe during the day we get to relax, but everything from like 3 o'clock on is just like boom, boom, boom. So I'm looking forward to it though.
No, that sounds like my nightmare.
Oh, no, you wouldn't even go. You wouldn't even go.
I wouldn't. There's no way.
Mm-mm. But Disney during spring break, that's a nightmare for me. So
I know what I'm doing.
Well, you know all the things to do.
I know all the things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also know when to just quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, calling it. Bar. Well, let's go.
I will say I always liked, we did go to Disney once for spring break with my college friends, actually. And some of our favorite memories are doing that. So I think it's more fun when you're an adult than when you're a kid going to Disney.
It is. Well, and the late nights are really good. Mm-hmm. Right. So like tomorrow night, I can be in the park. I could be at Magic Kingdom from 11 p.m. until 1 a.m. for like resort. They used to call it extra magic hours. They don't anymore, but it's just for resort guests. So like that cuts down. That's when you can do all the stuff you couldn't do during the day. And it's beautiful at night. It reminds me of working there at night because I used to love working nights at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, so you are like more of a night person than I am because that sounds like
I just need naps to do it now. Yeah. But you know, that's okay.
Hey, but that's what vacation's for, naps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think I've taken a nap since you and I were on the cruise. So.
Oh, I've taken a lot of naps.
It's so sad. Well, maybe I'll have to do that this weekend my girlfriend and I are sharing a room and maybe we'll get some nap times just to get me through the evenings because I do not party like I used to and I'm not drinking. So
nobody can.
Yeah. It's terrible.
All right.
All right. Well, have fun in Disney. And I will have fun in Las Vegas, which is basically Disneyland for adults.
As a Disneylander who is an adult, I disagree. Disneyland is for adults.
I agree. Disneyland is for adults. And so I guess next time we talk, we can catch up on some of those stories.
Yeah, we'll have to catch up on our debauchery.
I love it. Looking forward to that.
All right. Well, good luck with that pony.
Thank you. I'll let you know how it goes. And have a great birthday. Enjoy your nap. Jealous.
Thank you. For the nap.